Many things to pray about and seek the Lord for. And I'm going to see if I can get the right one this time. Let's pray for our choir as they sing, "It's Still the Blood."
Stand together and turn to page number 169. Page 169, "Come Thou Fount."
Come Thou Fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, I'm fixed upon it, mount of Thy redeeming love.
Let's all shake hands. righty, page 169. Let's look at the second verse together.
Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come, and I know by thy good pleasure safely I'll arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, here to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood.
On the last verse,
oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. That's one of my favorite songs. I'm so grateful for it. I'll ask the ushers to come at this time, and I'm also ask Brother Sam, will you come up and join us, please? I want you to pray for the offering. Yeah, Brother Robinson, come on up. And I'm so thankful he's here. Before he prays for us, I want to mention to you something. we were able to collect $200 plus for the bus lunches today, and I thought that was a big blessing, and we'll be able to continue feeding our bus kids. Now, let me talk to you just a little bit about this guy. Many of you may not know him. This is Brother Samuel Robinson. He's been a friend of mine since I was in the 10th grade. And I grew to love him and know him. And he's been nothing but a blessing to me all the days of my life. That since the day we met, he's been a blessing to me. I'd like to tell you about how we played basketball together and how that we've done just a little bit of everything together. But one thing that we have done together that I feel like is a wonderful thing is we've served the Lord together. And he's an encouragement to me. He's the assistant pastor over at Victory. They didn't have church tonight, so I'm glad he's able to join us. Brother Sam, come and pray for us. Greet us and pray for our offering.
Can I pull this down there for a second there? Gigantor. Thank you, Brother Fred. I love Brother Fred. Brother Fred, actually, I was sitting up here, and he corrected me when I was in high school. I didn't get saved till I was 17. I was a senior. My dad brought us there in 1986, and I was wicked. I was. The fact I'm even allowed to be in the ministry is amazing. Raised in a Christian home, but just didn't get saved. And then Brother Stump taught on hell in Sunday school, and I got saved. So if you have a Sunday school class, kids are listening. But Fred would not put up with our junk. And I tried. I did. I thought, man, we'll lure him in. We'll corrupt this young man. But no, he helped set a corrupt young man straight. And I never have forgotten that. I've told that in preaching before. Brother Fred Hart had a profound impact on my just, he refused to live like we did sometimes, and I watched that, and I appreciate it so very much. So I'm going to pray. We have all four of these men could probably take me out with their pinky, and they're staring at me because they want to collect your money for the Lord. So it's a bit intimidating. Then I got Gigantor over here, and so I feel a little bit like the mule at the Kentucky Derby. And the fellow took the mule to the Kentucky Derby, and his friend said, well, this is stupid. What did you bring a mule to the Kentucky? Don't you know this is a horse race? Your mule doesn't have a chance of winning. He said, I know, but I thought the fellowship would do him good. So that's a bit how I feel. Thank you, men, for taking this. Let's pray. Lord, we love you, and I love Brother Fred and this church, and grateful they're having service. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless the offering, the ministries of this church, and I pray for Brother Fred as he preaches in a little bit and the needs that are represented here. And continue to bless in the remainder of our service. In Jesus' name, amen.
was a blessing, wasn't it? What an encouragement. Well, I want you to take your Bible, turn back with me to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we'll begin tonight in verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Let's pray for Brother David as he sings, "I Have Been Blessed."
He walks among us, all that he does, all of his mercy and all of his love. If the pen of the writer could write every day, not even his words could ever how much I've been blessed. Warmth in the winter, flowers in spring, laughter of summer and the changing of leaves, food on my table, a good place to sleep, clothes on my back and shoes on my feet. I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them, there's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. Arms that can raise, a voice that can talk, hands that can touch, and legs that can walk, ears that can listen, eyes that can see. Oh, I've got to praise him as long as I breathe. I have been blessed. A mother and father nurtured and raised, sisters and brothers and memories made, our pastor to lead us, this altar to pray, stripes that can heal and blood that still saves. Oh, I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them, there's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. We live in a country, it's the greatest on earth. Our flag stands for freedom and what it is worth. She stands in the harbor, Miss Liberty calls. All have gave some, but some gave it all, so we could be blessed. He's my shoulder to lean on, when I am down. That rock where He leads me when I'm so overwhelmed. The place where He hides me under His wings. He's not just a song, He's the reason I sing. I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. I have been blessed.
We're obligated to praise Him. We're obligated to worship Him for His goodness. I am so thankful for the goodness of God. 2 Timothy chapter 1, I want to begin in verse 5 tonight. Paul is coming to the end of his life when he writes this letter to Timothy, his son in the faith, and he is trying to encourage him one last and final time. All throughout his life, Paul has been a tremendous influence in his life. I'm thankful for those that have influenced me. I have on my computer at home a file, and I have named it Influence. And over the years, I have tried to take pictures of people that have influenced me in a great way. This would have been Paul and Timothy. If you could see them standing side by side, they served the Lord together, and I'll hope to tell you a little bit about that tonight. I was able to start with the message this morning, and we looked in the book of Leviticus. And I want to go back to Leviticus in just a little bit and finish the introduction. And I'm hoping to preach my first point to you tonight. I have five, and then we'll save the next four for next week. And then I have three more messages on this subject. what God does is He stirs us up, and He uses different methods to stir us up. Tonight, I hope to introduce to you the way in which the Lord would choose in this passage to stir us up, and that's our hearts. So let's look again, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. The Bible says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." I am encouraging you as a church body, as an assembly, to be stirred up in your Christian walk. I have things that are in my heart, things that are in my mind that I want to introduce to you throughout the course of this year, different areas of your life to be stirred up in. And I want to introduce those to you real soon. The first step is to put up the banner there in the back and hope that you, when you look this way and when you see that, you're praying, "God, stir me up. God, stir me on the inside to do your work." Let's pray together and ask for His help. Would you pray with me? Would you pray for me? Father in heaven, I'm so grateful and thankful for the opportunity to preach again this evening. I pray, Lord, that you bless every member. Lord, whether they be here or absent, those that are home, I think of so many of them right now. My mind is filled with faces, Lord, of folks I know that would love to be here. We pray, God, that you would bless them with your richest blessings. We pray that you would feed them there at their home. And I ask, God, that this would be a time of encouragement for every member of our church. We pray that you would bless us and help us as we seek to obey you and do your will. We ask this all now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I hope that as you've looked at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 6, that you've marked these two little words that Paul gave to Timothy, and it's the words, "stir up." And that was his challenge to Timothy. Paul wanted Timothy to be stirred up. You know, I mentioned this morning about the wood stove at my house. And For the third time today, I went downstairs and I filled it up with firewood again. That is much like our Christian life. It constantly needs to be fed. It constantly needs to be stirred. I have a coal bucket there by the fireplace and a metal shovel. And just within the last 3 days, I have filled that bucket up completely with ashes. Now, I want you to understand, if I wouldn't have spent a little bit of time with that shovel and that coal bucket getting those ashes out, it would have been impossible for me to have a hot fire at my house right now. As a matter of fact, when we left, when we pulled out of the driveway today, the temperature in the living room was 74 degrees. You say, Brother Fred, that's too hot. Well, we had the front door standing open. And, you know, it didn't bother us even the least little bit. I'm very thankful for that. But, you know, that's a picture that Paul gave to Timothy concerning our heart. God wants us to keep our heart on fire for Him. And you say, Brother Fred, why are you saying this? This word here, if you'll study it, if you'll look it up, I'm hoping that everybody is familiar with the Strong's Concordance at least. And you can look up numbers and that and these words that are in each verse. You can look and see that this is fire terminology. This is fire language. And Paul is literally telling Timothy that he needs to have a revival of living fire. That's exactly what this word, these two English words means. It means to have a repetition or a revival of living fire, to keep it stirred up, to keep it moving. And we looked through the book of Leviticus today and we tried to tie that principle of how God established the Old Testament tabernacle by sending His fire. Now we understand Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 7, Aaron and his sons, they started the first fire. They set the wood in order. They got it exactly the way that it should be, and they set the first fire. The first 8 chapters, they were listening. They were receiving instruction from God. By the time you get to Leviticus chapter 9, now they are in full obedience. They're in full compliance to God's will for their life. As a matter of fact, there's very few times that you will find the children of Israel being as obedient as they were in the book of Leviticus, at least the first part. It didn't take long. They messed up. Don't worry, just the next chapter. Just hold on. It's okay. They're just like we are, just prone to leave, prone to wander, prone to turn their heart from God, just like the song we sang earlier. And listen, if you're not real careful, you'll get to thinking that you've arrived somewhere in the Christian life. And to be honest about it, the older I get, the more I realize how much I make mistakes. And the older I get, the more I'm embracing those mistakes. Hey, I'm a sinner at best. And you know, I'm a failure. But guess what? I have been redeemed by a champion, by a victor that cannot lose and cannot be defeated. Hey, listen, I have the Lord Jesus Christ living in me. He has bled and died for my sins. And He has won every victory that I cannot win. Every time that I would make a mistake, He's lived perfect, spot on, without fault, without error. I don't have to be right. I want to do the best I can. Now, don't take me wrong. I'm not going to use that as an excuse to sin and live in unrighteousness. I'm going to do the best I can in this life, but I realize that when I mess up and when I fail, I have someone that who has bled and died for me that has never messed up one time. And He's lived that perfect life for me in my place. Now, I want you to turn back with me and I want to catch back up. I've got 3 more points in the way of the introduction that I want to share with you tonight. Back to the book of Leviticus, chapter number 6. And I want to share with you something that I started earlier. In Leviticus chapter 6, you're seeing part of this command. We find in chapter 1, God commanded Aaron to ignite the fire and to keep it and to set the wood in order. Now I want you to look with me in Leviticus chapter 6, and I want to begin reading in verse 9. I want to read all the way through verse 12 again, and I want you to see this principle that we find in the scripture that what Paul is telling Timothy is in perfect alignment. The Bible says, command Aaron and his sons, this is Leviticus chapter 6 and verse number 9, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar. And I want you to mark this, all night unto the morning. All night unto the morning. The hardest time in the world to keep a fire going is at nighttime. If the fire's ever going to go out, it's going to go out in the nighttime. Think about that for a moment. In the darkest seasons, in the darkest times of your life, if the fire's ever going to go out, that's when it's going to happen. But let me encourage you tonight. If there was ever a time that the child of God should be on duty, stirring up the gift of God that is in them, it's in the night season. It's when the days are dark and when things are difficult. Stir up the fire of God that's in you. Notice what the Bible says. It says, all night unto the morning. And then the Bible says, and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment and his linen breeches. Shall he put upon his flesh and take up the ashes? And I mentioned this morning, these word ashes are a picture of yesterday's blessings. It's a picture of yesterday's revival. It's a picture of yesterday's victory. But I'm going to tell you something. All they're good for is to throw out into the garden or somewhere on the road. They're absolutely profitless. They will not help you. They will not encourage you. They will not warm your heart. These ashes are produced from yesterday's fire. And I want you to understand that many people in the church today are not living on stirred up fire, but they're trying to get by with what happened years and years ago and how they lived the Christian life years and years ago. God is always progressing. God is always moving forward. And let me ask you something. Are you moving forward in your life, in your Christian life? Are you standing still? If you are, you're moving backwards. God wants us to progress in our life. And then the Bible says, and he shall put them beside the altar. And then verse 11, and he shall put off his garments and put on the other garment and put on other garments and carry forth the ashes without the camp into a clean place. Now, verse 12 is, I want you to mark this again, okay? Look at verse 12 and concentrate on it because this is so important. The Bible says, and the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning. Would you mark that phrase, every morning? You want to talk about preaching? I could preach a message just right here. Every morning you've got to put wood on the fire. The very first thing that I do every day of my life when it's cold, at least for about 6 months out of the year, is I walk downstairs into my basement. I turn the flue open on the top of my stove. I get down on the inside of it. I take my shovel and get as many ashes out as I can. I stir the embers that are left. And the very first thing I do every morning of my life is throw new wood on that fire. Dear friend, this is the picture that Paul was giving to Timothy for the Christian life. We need to stir up the fire of God that is on the inside of us every day. We can't skip a day. I can promise you one thing. Oh, if you skip any amount of time at all, it's going to go so dim. It's going to grow so cold. Now, we understand I'm not trying to say that we're going to lose our salvation, but your fire for God is going to dwindle. It's not going to be what it needs to be. You can't skip a day. You can't cheat on God. You've got to be faithful. Look what the Bible says. And lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offering. Verse 13 is key. Don't stop. Look at verse 13. The Bible says, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Now, this morning, I mentioned to you that that fire represents God's acceptance. It represents God's continuous atonement. It represents God's continual availability, his presence there with them. And I mentioned that the fire must never go out. And I mentioned that we can't quench the Spirit of God. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19. We're not to quench the Spirit of God. And the only way that that's going to happen is our spirit has to be fed. Charles Spurgeon said that our spirit is only made fat with the bread of life. The only way that you're going to be healthy as a Christian, the only way that you're going to be healthy as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is to feed your spirit the Word of God. It has to take place. It has to be watched. A fire is something that you just can't haphazard have. First off, if a fire gets out, you're in trouble. I've never seen that with a believer. But what we have to watch is to make sure the fire doesn't go out. It has to be constantly watched and maintained. It can never be neglected. I want you to write down two words for me that will sum it up. It requires, here it is, daily attention. daily attention. If you're going to be stirred up, like Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift of God, you're going to have to give daily attention to your heart. You're going to have to work deep down inside of your heart, and the fire must be fed, just like the scripture says, every morning. Let me share with you another thought. Number two is this. If the Lord commanded that the fire never went out, and they were traveling, I want you to think about this for a moment. I don't know if you've ever done any camping or not. When you get up first thing in the morning, you see where your fire was that night before, and sometimes you can get in there and stir those embers and throw another piece of wood on there. If it's the right kind of wood and you've got dry wood, you can get that fire going again. It's difficult. But the bottom line is, these people weren't just going from one evening to one morning. They were literally picking up and moving. Now, here's one thing I've never done. Brother Ricky, I know Ricky spent a lot of time camping as well. I have never taken a fire with me. I've never packed it up and said, okay, Caleb, Nathan, help me out. Let's take this fire with us, and we're going to take it to our next campsite, or let's take it home with us. But I want you to understand, they did. Everywhere they went, the fire went. They carried the fire with them. Every place that God took them, the fire was still burning. You say, Brother Fred, you're crazy. No, I'm not. I'm going to give you three words. Would you write them down? Number one, would you write this word down? Fire pans. You say, Brother Fred, where'd you come up with that? In the Bible. I'll show it to you in a minute. Just trust me. Fire pans. Write this word down. Shovels. Write this word down. Sensors. And the sensor's my favorite. First, what we find is these children, the children of Israel, they had fire pans. And this was a tool that God gave them to transport the fire from the altar when they would remove the altar. And oh, what a beautiful thing it was when it was in transport. What a beautiful thing it was when God moved the furniture of the tabernacle. All the children of Levi, they were in the innermost part of the tabernacle, circling the tabernacle. Moses and Aaron had the responsibility of covering them. And then there's the other three sides, and Moses and Aaron were at the east gate, and then the other three sides right up against the tabernacle. One of the tribes, and I wish I had the names memorized, but I don't. One of them's Kohath, and one of them, they had no oxen, no wagons. They had to carry the ark on their shoulder. They had to carry the brazen altar on their shoulder. No need for carts. No need for oxen. It was transported on their shoulders. And then the other ones, they received carts and they received oxen. And some of them were responsible for the post and the sockets and the pillars, the bars and all that kind of thing were loaded on their wagons and they moved that. And then others were in charge of the linen cloth and the purple and all that kind of thing. And they all had different responsibilities. But the bottom line is, the Levites had to get the fire from off that altar. They had to shovel it up because God sent the fire and God never intended for it to go out. And they used fire pans and they packed it with them. And on some cart somewhere, you'd find a hot fire pan filled with live coals. Boy, oh boy, what if God's children could do the same thing? What if God's people, it doesn't matter where they picked up and moved, whether it was the Tudor's Biscuit World for breakfast. Well, I needed that. Or whether we go to work or whether we go across town for some type of parts or shopping or whatever it might be, whatever business we had, wouldn't it be wonderful if God's people were so stirred up that everywhere they went, they took the fire with them? Isn't that an amazing application? Isn't that a beautiful principle? Oh, sometimes we've got the fire at the church house, don't we? And boy, oh boy, when you're sitting in the pew and hearing the preaching of the Word of God, boy, you get stirred up. But I'm going to tell you something, that's just part of God's plan. God wants us to take the fire with us everywhere we go. God wants us to have the fire pans with us. And I said shovels. Those shovels were used to get in there and get those hot coals off that altar and shovel them inside the fire pans. And then the word censers. But first let me give you a verse. Exodus chapter 27 and verse 3. I'll read it to you. Exodus 27 and verse 3. And thou shalt make his pans to receive his ashes and his shovels and his basins and his flesh hooks and his fire pans, all the vessels thereof thou shalt make of brass. And then in Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 12, oh boy, I told you I like the censers the best, right? Now the censer had a very specific job. Would you turn with me to chapter 16 and verse 12? The censer was to take live coals as well. And I just want to read it to you. I wasn't going to, but I just can't help myself. Just look at it. You want to talk about ready to shout. Look at Leviticus chapter 16, and I want you to see what happens here. I might have to read the whole chapter to find what I'm wanting to show you, but we'll read for a minute. Look with me at Leviticus chapter 16, verse 12. Hopefully I'll find it quickly. The Bible says, "And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from where? Off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord." Now, watch this. It just literally, this is the Day of Atonement. By the way, Leviticus chapter 16 is the Day of Atonement. This is a special day when the high priest would go in once a year into the Holy of Holies. He'd have to have a censer. And that censer would be full of live coals. And he'd take those live coals and go to the Holy of Holies. And look what's happening. Verse 13. "And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not." Would you mark that? That he die not. Oh, what a beautiful picture. God couldn't see through the smoke. God was blinded by the smoke and couldn't see the high priest in there. Think about it for just a moment. We understand in the scripture that the incense always represents prayer. Incense, but it wasn't just prayer. It was a specific type of prayer. He took handfuls of, the Bible says in verse number 13, look at this, verse 12, I'm sorry. It says, "beaten small and bring it within the veil." This incense was placed upon them burning live coals, and when the high priest would release that incense, all the smell would fill the Holy of Holies and also the smoke. If you could imagine being blind in that room, God being blind to the high priest. You say, "Brother Fred, how is that possible?" Because of the source of the fire. I want you to think about this for just a moment. He had just went out there, Brother Dave, think about this. He had just went out there to the brazen altar and he had grabbed live coals. And if you could have been there in the presence, I want you to think about all the animals that were sacrificed. All the many bullocks and rams and there was sheep and goats and just many, many other offerings that was made. Have you ever been around an old-fashioned barbecue grill and when it has those live coals in there, every time that the blood drops, like, could you imagine hearing the sound of the altar, the brazen altar of God? I want you to understand, not only was he taking live coals from off the altar, he was taking the blood with him, because everything in the Old Testament has a blood foundation. He was taking those coals that was covered in the blood, those coals which gives us a root, those coals which give us a foundation to our prayer. I want you to understand, our prayers wouldn't pass the roof. Our prayers couldn't penetrate the ceiling if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you one thing right now, he grabbed those fiery coals off of the brazen altar and they had the power of God behind them, and he'd take those live coals covered in the blood of that sacrificed animal into the Holy of Holies, and he'd put on top of them that incense, and the cloud of smoke would fill the Holy of Holies and God couldn't even see him. Wow, what a blessing. What a provision. Oh, how we're more than covered by the blood. And listen, you think this is powerful? You think this is special? Oh, no, you look in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we've got something much more powerful, not just a covering of our sin, but a removal of our sin. Oh, the Old Testament was just a picture. It just pointed to that final sacrifice, that final blood that would be shed. The blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and oh, how precious it was that we could be covered in it. Leviticus 16 and verse 12, we find the censers. So my point is this, if we're going to be stirred up, God intends for us to be stirred up so that we can take the fire with us everywhere we go. Let me give you my last point here and then we'll move. And I'm hoping I'll get my, this is all in the way of introduction. I want to get my first point in the message tonight, and if not, it's okay. I told you they messed up quick, didn't I? I told you that it wasn't long before they messed up. Would you turn back with me? Now, that was Leviticus chapter 9 was when the fire of God fell. Matter of fact, if you'll turn back with me, Leviticus chapter 9, I just want to read the last verse. Let's read the last two verses, Leviticus 9, 23 and 24. And I'm just going to keep reading. So here's what I want you to do. Put your seatbelt on, okay? Because this is going to hurt a little bit. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. Fire from heaven fell and licked up Aaron's wood and licked up Aaron's sacrifice. Powerful fire from heaven. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer. We just talked about the censer, didn't we? And put fire in them. We just talked about that, didn't we? And put incense thereon. We just talked about that, didn't we? And offered what? Strange fire before the Lord. It wasn't fire that fell from heaven. It wasn't fire from the Word of God. It wasn't fire from the voice of God. It was strange fire. It was fire that shouldn't have been there. And the Bible says, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said unto Aaron, this is that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And look what the Bible says. And Aaron held his peace. He knew he better keep his mouth shut. He knew that God was holy and just. He knew that God was right and he was wrong. He knew that God was right and his boys was wrong. He knew that God was right and they had broke his word. He knew that God was right and he was doing it the wrong way. I want you to understand tonight, the last thing I want to share with you is what, in, as far as the introduction goes, is God does not accept strange fire. God won't receive it. And I want to warn you tonight, dear church, would you give me your ear? Would you listen and give me your heart for just a moment? Not all fire is from the Lord. Not all fire is from heaven. There's some people that get stirred up, and there's some people that get excited, and there's some people that are sincere, but it's not holy fire. It's not heaven fire. It's not scriptural fire. As a church, one of the most important things we'll ever do is set as a priority that we get our fire straight from the Word of God and straight from the Spirit of God. Folks, you ought to say amen. It is an absolute priority as a local New Testament church, as an assembly of a body of believers, that we get our fire from the Word of God and from the Lord Jesus Christ and from the Spirit of God that lives within us. We can't make this up. We can't work it up. You can't get emotions and stir it up. This is the wrong kind of stirring. I'm not talking about just working up some kind of emotion. I'm talking about heaven sent. God empowered, God sent power from heaven. It only comes from one place, and that's, listen, doing things God's way, being in line with the Word of God, being obedient to the Word of God, walking His way and being obedient to Him. That's the only way you'll have that kind of fire. Oh, Aaron would have never seen the fire from heaven fall if he'd have broke one of his commands. If he would have thought that one of them wasn't significant, or if he would have thought that one of those commands wasn't all that important, I'm telling you right now, he'd have never saw the fire from heaven. And dear friend, let me give our church a warning tonight. If we disregard the Word of God, and if we pick and choose what we think is important in God's Word, and we don't take it all, Paul said, I didn't shun to preach to you the whole counsel of God. There's times of rebuke. There's times of encouragement. There's times where God gives us light and understanding. And you know, there's all different times, things that we'll find in the Word of God, and we've got to receive them all. Not all fire is holy. Oh, they had fire all right. And I'm going to tell you something right now. The religious crowd in general, would you just listen to this? Just please give me your ear for just a moment. I'll stop with this, I promise. We live in a generation where they've got fire. I'm telling you, they've got more fire than we've got. I've preached to the best of my ability both this morning and this evening. I've prayed and asked God to help me. I've prayed and asked God to fill me with His Spirit. And I'm doing what God wants me to do, and I'm preaching and saying exactly what God wants me to say. But I'm telling you right now, there's some characters out there. Now, there's some denominations out there. And there's some churches out there that make my fire look like a little matchstick. They've got more fire and more charisma, and they're sharper than I am. They look better than I do. Don't just be easy. They can part their hair better than I can. They've got it down. And I'm here to tell you, they know how to talk, and they know how to look, and they know how to woo. But it ain't holy fire. Just because there's sincerity, and just because people stirred up, and just because the name of Jesus is mentioned, doesn't mean that it is holy fire. Nadab and Abihu, they offered strange fire, and God instantly took their life. I'm going to tell you right now, please mark it down. Would you turn back with me to Leviticus chapter 10, and right there by verses 1 and 2, please write this down. God is not interested in religious fire. He's not. He's not interested in what we can work up. He's interested in what only He can provide, what only He can give. And dear friend, I have to set myself aside and say, dear God, just use me, work through me, flow through me. I can't do this. God's not interested in religious fire. Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift of God. My challenge to this church in 2026 is let's get stirred up. Let's get stirred up for the things of God. Let's get stirred up for what's right. Let's get stirred up in the area of obedience. Let's get stirred up and ask God to send revival. Let's get stirred up and ask God to break our hearts. Let's get stirred up and ask God to help us to shed tears again over our sin. Let's get stirred up and ask God to give us a broken and a contrite heart like old David had. Let's get stirred up and ask God to give us souls. Let's get stirred up and get people back in the baptistry again. Let's get stirred up and get our buses full again. Let's get stirred up and get our Sunday school classes full again. Let's get stirred up and teach the Sunday school lesson faithfully. Let's get stirred up and pray for one another. Let's get stirred up and encourage one another. Listen, the fire is going out across America. The fire is going out in our churches. Brother Dave, I want you to do me a favor, and I'm going to do it publicly. I want you to sing that song, The Lighthouse, again. I don't know if you've ever sung it, but I want it sung again. We are the Lighthouse Baptist Church, and I thank God for the Lighthouse. As far as I know, in the 13-plus years I've been here, I've never heard it sung. And it may have been. And it may have been sung plenty of times. But I want to shine for Jesus. I want to be stirred up for Christ. And I want this church to be stirred up. The fire must never go out. The fire must be carried with you everywhere you go. And strange fire is not accepted. It just won't happen. Would you stand with me? Miss Evans coming to play. Oh, do I even need to say anything about the invitation tonight? I asked this morning, how's your fire? I want you to think this thing through. Are you willing to be stirred up? There's a cost involved. If you're going to be stirred up for God, there's a cost involved. Let me ask you tonight, are you sincere enough before God to say, God, I want to be stirred up? To leave your pew and come to this old-fashioned altar and say, God, stir me up for thy work, for thy kingdom, for thy glory, for thy honor, stir me up. As Miss Emma begins to play, would you come? God, stir us up. What page, Brother David? 270. I'm in no hurry. There's folks doing business with the Lord. Let's give them time. I don't want to rush the invitation. So much. Brother Dave, I want you to come and dismiss us in prayer. Boy, it's been a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Get your wood cut. Put it in order. Get it on the altar. Get the fire moving. Get it hot. You get into the presence of the Lord, He'll fire you up. I promise you He will. Boy, it's been a blessing to be here today. Thank you for letting me preach this way. You know, I don't know but one way of preaching, Sam. I've always preached this way, hadn't I? I'm old-fashioned, old-school. I love the preaching of the Word of God. I like it quiet, too. I like it all different ways. I just hope you like this kind of preaching because I get fired up. Brother Dave, will you dismiss us?
Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You for this blessings, Lord. We thank You for our pastor, God. I pray that You'd be with him this week, dear Lord. Encourage him, dear God. I pray that You'd be with each member here, dear Lord. Lord, I pray that You'd help us get stirred up, get on fire for You, Lord. Lord, I pray that You'd be with us as we travel home tonight. Lord, keep us safe, dear God. And Lord, we love You. And bring us back to Your house again this Wednesday. In Your Son, Jesus Christ, holy name we pray. Amen.